Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
All right, well, look at your neighbor and say, I believe something good is going to happen to you today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you guys look alert in here. How many of y'all thankful you came to church on Time Change Sunday? Oh, Lord. I was thinking about it. We lost an hour this morning. And I woke up singing, oh, I went to the enemy's camp. And I took back what he stole from me. And then I drank a bang, two more cups of coffee. Come on, somebody. Woo! Who's happy to be here? Doesn't it feel good to be in the house of God? Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Malachi chapter 3. And this is a great passage of text. If you've gone to Matthew, you've gone too far. This is the last book before you get to the New Testament. And it is entitled this, verse 8. It says, you have robbed God. It starts in verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? I'm reading from the Amplified. Yet you are robbing me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, this whole nation. Bring all the tithes, the tenth, into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. That's the only time Jesus says, test me in this. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until there is no more room to receive it. Come on, we ought to thank God for the rain we got last night. Oh, rain must not affect some of y'all in the room. It affects me. Come on, who does it affect this morning? It affects all of us. Without rain, you don't eat. And I probably should do without it. Lucas sends me videos to put on social media of me, and I keep thinking to myself, Lord have mercy, boy, you need to go on a diet. He says, well, the camera adds 10 pounds. I said, well, how many cameras are on me? Lord have mercy. It says, then I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he will not destroy the fruits of your ground, nor your vine in the field drop its grapes. Says the Lord of hosts, all nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. If you're here for the first time in our series called Blessed to Be a Blessing, this is part 3. And how many of y'all believe that we ought to be at a place in our life we are blessed to be a blessing? And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, I hadn't been to church in a long time, and I show up and he's talking about money. Well, I promise you, this is the first time that I've done it in 2 years, and you come back next week, and I'll spit and holler and scream at the devil, all right? But how many of y'all know this is a problem in people's lives? In the first week, we talked about this. Do you trust God? The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And there's lots of people, just like he said in Malachi chapter 3 right here, he says, test me in this. There's lots of people that trust God in lots of areas of their life. They trust him in prayer. They trust him in healing. But when it comes to finances, they don't trust God. In fact, Matthew talks about it. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And you can see lots of times where people's heart is of where their money is. And so we talked about the tithe. We talked about the tenth and how we trust God with that. And then it goes down in Proverbs chapter 3. It goes down even further from that. He says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase. And he says, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. We talked about honoring the Lord. And we talked about giving last week and the seeds that were planted. But this morning, I would do you an injustice of talking about blessed to be a blessing. If you don't know how to receive the blessing back in your life, how can you be a blessing to somebody else? And I believe there is things that happen throughout our life, and episodes that happen in windows that come, that if we aren't looking, we look for things to be with a big red bow tie on there, and we look for it in that way because we've heard messages, if I just give, it'll just show up in my front door, and there's times that it does with a package delivered straight to you in your mailbox, but I believe there's other times that God gives us wisdom to look for things. Amen? I believe the currency of God is wisdom. He gives us wisdom. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, again from the Amplified, he said, "And you Philippians know that in early days of preaching the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and," say it, "receiving, except you alone." In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, this is the book of beginnings here, he said, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." What am I looking at? Seed time and harvest time. See, I would do you an injustice if I just talked to you about giving. And believe me, as a preacher, it would do me a great justice just to talk about preaching. But I'm robbing you if I don't talk about the receiving part. Amen? This is a principle of exchange. The whole world, this life that we live in, operates off the principle of exchange. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. In fact, the trees that we have, we put out carbon dioxide. Unless you have something covering your face, you breathe your carbon dioxide, but no matter, whatever, moving on. And the plant or the trees, they take that, right? And then what do they produce? They produce oxygen to put out to us. Plants, think about plants. Plants are what? They're planted. And there's male plants and there's female plants. And the male plant says, "Oh, I'd really like to pollinate you." Amen. That's a different message for a different day. But what happens, since they're planted in the ground, it's a process of exchange. A bee comes along, and he takes things from the male, and he puts it in the female. I may be messed up on this scientifically, but that's how it works. It's the process of exchange. It's giving and receiving. It's seed time and harvest time. The parable of the unjust steward in Luke chapter 16, Jesus says this: the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. He says this: "For the people of this world are more shrewd," he's saying have business sense, "in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light." What is he saying? He's saying my people, the people of light, they don't understand money. In 1 Timothy 6, 9, and 10, now that's a ditch that we talked about. There's a ditch that people live in, that I'm waiting on people to put it into my hand. I'm waiting for the stimulus check. I'm waiting for my inheritance. I'm waiting for, and then there's people in the ditch over here that they pursue it, right? People over here that they burn the candle at both ends and they really go after it, but God doesn't want either one of them. God wants you to rely on him. And so then he talks about, in 1 Timothy, Paul speaking here in chapter 6, he says in verse 9, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." Listen to that. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare." And then verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil," all kinds of evil. So money can't be your pursuit. But how many of y'all believe we also can't ignore it? I don't know if you know this, you can't play the light bill without it, all right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to read to you from the Passion Translation here, and I love what this says. We went over this last week about the seed. He says, "This generous God, who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. For he supplies every need plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. You will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion. For when we take your gifts to those in need, it causes many to give thanks to God." In this text here, I believe this: if you don't understand how money flows, you won't ever have any of it. It goes from seed to bread. It goes back into the ground. Seed, we sow it again, back into the ground. It comes up. We have things from it. It goes back into the ground. We need to learn how we give and how we receive. So here's the first point I want to make to you this morning. Instead of chasing money, chase wisdom. I'm going to say it again. Instead of chasing money, chase wisdom. And right away, you may be in here and saying, why is he talking about money? Well, I'll tell you this, because the Bible, there's 500 verses on prayer. There's 500 verses on love and faith, but there's 2,000 on money. Why? Because it's a problem in people's life. You know what God has anointed me to do over the people is to prepare them through the Word of God. And I want to tell you this morning, instead of chasing money, you need to chase wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 8, it's a great passage of text in verse 1. And this is the excellence of wisdom, New King James. I love what it says. It says, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? Now I want you to go down to verse 10. He's talking about wisdom here. All of this is pertaining, pushing towards wisdom, looking at it. He says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit, listen to this, talking about wisdom, my fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness. This is verse 20. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. In this text in Proverbs 8, we see this. This money is such a powerful influence. And if you don't have the wisdom of God, it will destroy your life. For the love of money is the root of all evil. But if it can be used in the wrong way, how many of y'all know it can be used in the right way? There's so many things. If it can be used in the wrong way, it can be used in the right way. Anything in life, too much of it can be a problem. I've never had that problem with money, but I've had that problem maybe with water when a water pipe busts. Too much water can be a problem. But the right water in the right place is a good thing. Can I get an amen? Wisdom is the currency of God. And last week, I told you this story of how I had a 12-disc CD player that had been stolen. And I had been giving. And I went into a service and a lady gave me $100. The Lord put it on her heart. Now, I want to tell you, I had a relationship with this person. This person didn't just come out of nowhere. I had a relationship. I put the $100 in, and I told you the story of how God rebuked the devourer for my sake. And by the time I left there, I had all the money I needed for that 12-disc CD player. But there's lots of people, and lots of times it's ministered to from the gospel, that's how money comes. I don't feel like they mean it that way, but that's the way people portray it. But if that is the only way that you have money coming, that is not wise. I'm going to say that again. That is not wise. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, I want to reiterate something to you. It says, this Paul speaking, and he said, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You should always want to be a giver. You know what I want to be? I want to be a giver. But if I don't receive anything, how am I going to give anything? Come on, who am I talking to this morning? I want you to think about money and wisdom like sweat and exercise. We pursue wisdom. We pursue wisdom, and the money will follow. It's the same way you pursue the exercise and you get sweat. I've never been to a gym where they have a sweatometer. Right? How many of y'all know the sweat will come? Even if you're out in the cold, but you can't determine the success of an exercise by the amount of sweat. Because there's some of you out there that are sweaters. You know who I'm talking about? When you're talking to them, they got beads just falling down from their head. Their whole back's wet all the time. I have a friend like that. But I'm trying to paint a picture to you. You pursue the exercise and the sweat will come. You pursue wisdom and the money will come. People don't wake up every morning thinking about how they can give you money. Hello. How many of y'all woke up this morning thinking, you know what? Who could I give money to today? How many of y'all, just lift your hand. We're getting out the offering buckets right now. All right? None of us did. None of us did. Luke 6:38 says, give and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in your bosom. But still, there is a process of exchange. That is the lowest level of provision if you're waiting on that particular thing. Number two is this. So number one, instead of chasing money, chase wisdom. Are y'all with me this morning? And y'all need another cup of coffee. Here's the next one. Number two, money has to be converted from wisdom. Everything comes out of the earth. If you go to Mexico, you have to convert your $100 bill to pesos. We have to convert money to wisdom, from wisdom. Everything that's come, this right here, this came out of the earth. The metal thing came out of the earth. The carpet came out of the earth. The drywall came out of the earth. Am I painting a picture to you? That iPad there, everything in that came out of the earth. What happened? It had to be converted. Electricity has to be converted. Years ago, we went to the Hoover Dam, and it's making that, but it has to be converted so we can use it. Steam plants, it has to be converted. Turbines, it has to be converted. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, it says this. I'm reading from the King James. It says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Who gives you the power to get wealth? Almighty God. I'm going to say that again. He gives you. We're putting the power back into his hands, but he's given it to you. He's not given the power to grandpappy's pappy's pappy to give to you. He's given you the power. I'm telling you, I believe I'm speaking into somebody's life right now because you're waiting on this and you're waiting on that, but he has given you the power to get wealth. He's given you the power. What are you going to convert to money? I love the story in 2 Kings chapter 4 of the widow and the two boys. If you would go there with me, I'm reading from the NIV. In verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? What is he saying? God has given you power to get wealth. Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it in one side. She left him, shut the door behind her and the sons, then brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, this is supernatural, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. There's two things that we see here. Give, and it will be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. But this woman here, he said, God has given you something. I'm here to tell the people of God this morning, God has given you something. There is something that God has given you. What she see in her, she said, I see myself as resourceless. I'm telling you, if you're created in the image of Christ, there is something that God has put into your hand, plumber. God has put into your hand, mechanic. God has put into your hand, painter. God has put into your hand, come on, fireman. There is something that God has put into you. Am I making some sense this morning? There's something that God has already given you. Money has to be converted from wisdom. I'll give you an example. We were talking about it as pastors and elders here at the church. What are some things that we have that we can convert from wisdom and make it to money? And one of the things that we started doing down at the arena, we have pins. We have 220 plugs. And it's crazy, all these years that we had all those pens, we had people that were coming from time to time, they would stay, but there wasn't a charge. Well, Pastor, this is a church. We ought to give everything away. Who said that? That's crazy. That's nonsense. You know, in the first year that we started charging for pens and 220 plugs, we made $3,000. There was something that God had right here already that we converted from wisdom to money. One of the things as a horseshoer that I've done over the years, I'll buy a bunch of wormer. And if I buy, let's say I buy it for $10 a tube, I'll have it in my truck or I'll have it in my trailer and people can see that, I'll sell it to them for $20. Well, you're a preacher. I am, but I ain't stupid. Come on. Thrush buster. It goes up all the time. If a horse has thrush in their foot, and I'll clean it out, and I said, you know what, I'll sell you this bottle, and I sell it for twice as what I have in it. Why? It's supply and demand. People do it to you all the time. Don't look at me all judgmental right now. Come on, I got wisdom. I got wisdom. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you got wisdom. All right, I ain't trying to cheat people. They get cheated at the store if they want to, but I've been carrying around all this time, and I'm saving them a trip of gas to get there. And how many of y'all know gas costs $5 a gallon? Thank you. Whatever, moving on. Lord have mercy. I put on the other day, the bad news is I just bought gas, but the good news is at least people's feelings aren't hurt by the big, fat, mini-faced Orange Man's Twitter account. Moving on. And if I offended you, well, I'm offended by the gas. Just saying. All right. Money has to be converted from wisdom. There's 3 points that I want to show you this morning. Labor can be converted to money. I'm going to say it again. Teenagers, y'all listen up. Lean in right now. This is wisdom. Labor can be converted to money. People, you need to work. You men out there, if you're a go-getter, you need to stop being a go-getter. You know what a go-getter is? Your wife goes to work, and at 5 o'clock, you go get her. That is not a good thing to be. God called the man to work. Come on, I'm going to say it again. God called the man to work. Not to be lazy. I can already see it now. People be getting their stimulus checks and their tax return at the same time. I'm calling in. Shoot. Don't be calling in. Oh, Lord. That's where you get ahead in life. Amen, Pastor Robert? Proverbs 14:23 says, work brings profit. You think? Work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. You know the talker and the worker. I'd much rather have the worker. Hey, employees out there, your boss called me and told me to tell you less talk and more work. Come on, less Facebook and more work. Oh, this is the wisdom of God right now. I'm speaking to somebody. Come on. Labor can be converted to money. Number two, wisdom will make you money. Proverbs 8:21 says this, that I may cause those who love me to inherit, he's talking about me, wisdom, to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Wisdom can be converted to money. What are you talking about? Well, think about it like this. A plumber makes more money than a brain surgeon. I'm not talking about Dak Prescott. Give me a major break. Moving on from that too. Oil and Dak Prescott. But a plumber, if he pokes a hole in your pipes, he can fix the pipe. But if a brain surgeon pokes a hole in the wrong place, how many of y'all know that's detrimental to somebody? That's why he makes what he makes, because wisdom will inherit wealth. You need to learn your trade. You know, those of you out there, if you're an apprentice to an electrical company, if you learn your trade, thou sayeth the Lord, you will get a raise. You got YouTube videos. When I was first learning how to shoe horses, I went with other guys. I still, to this day, I get with other people that's going to sharpen my tools, that's going to sharpen who I am and what I do. It's the same way with the Word of God. Here's the thing. What if I was your pastor and I didn't read and I didn't study up and I didn't study? Come on, wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. I'm trying to paint a picture to you. Learn your trade. I'm telling you, if you just cared about your job rather than complaining on Facebook about it, promotion will come. I'll say that again. And you may be grouchy to work with and you may say, they just don't see what is in me. You keep acting like that, they ain't never going to. Come on, I'm going to say that again. You keep acting like that, they ain't ever going to. Wisdom. Use wisdom. I remember years ago, I've traded all kinds of things, being out with people and see stuff for sale. I pulled up and saw this trailer for sale, and I knew what it was. And I said, boy, how much you want for that? And he shot off a price, and I could not get to the bank fast enough to get him cash. I was not going to tell him how much that was worth. Again, I'm a preacher, but I'm not stupid, people. I went, I gave him the money. That's what he wanted. So that's what I gave him. The next day, I doubled my profit. I doubled my profit. I'm just here to tell you, I believe this, that God pours out windows of blessing on our life. He gives back to us, but we've got to have eyes to see it. Wisdom will make you money. Wisdom, show up on time, leave late. Be there early, act like you care. Come on, moving on. Lord have mercy, I could talk about that for 20 minutes. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1 says, the Lord detests honest scales, but listen to this, but accurate weights find favor with him. You know what that tells me? God loves trade, but he doesn't like horse traders or cheaters. Make a product that people need. And I believe this. Who here in this room has had an idea that if you'd have done it, you'd have been a millionaire? Come on, let me see a show of hands. All right. I heard this story the other day of this farmer. This pastor was telling me. He said he was sitting in a room full of guys, and he was a farmer, and his pastor asked him this. He said, you know what? You guys are tithers and givers. How many of y'all have ever had an idea or maybe something that was brought to you and you didn't do it? Because he was trying to paint a picture to them. He will pour out the windows of heaven big enough, you won't have room enough to receive it. And he said this farmer came to him. He didn't have a lineage under him. His wife had already died. And he said, young man, I've partnered with you. I've been neighbors with you for your whole life. He said, I'd like to sell you this farm for what it's worth. He said, I will loan you the money to do it. You can pay me out, and in 3 years, you'll have it paid for. And he started looking at all the risks. I'm telling you, there may be risks sometimes and things, but how many of y'all know risk is a good thing? Did David go up against the giant without a risk? Did Moses do things without a risk? No, he was led by faith. I walk by faith and not by sight. So this farmer, he said, well, tell me what happened. He said, well, I saw that it was too much. I knew I could do it, but I just didn't want to take more in my life. He said, within 3 years, the mall of the place said, hey, we want to buy your land. And it 25 times. 25 times. Did you hear me right? That's what the mall paid for that piece of property. He said, they put it right there in front of me, and I should have taken the deal. We need to hear from God. Amen? God has given you ideas that we've walked right past, but we think to ourselves, you know what, Pastor, I've been given, but lots of times we think to ourselves, it comes in a red bow tie. And I'm telling you, God's good enough to do that, but I believe this also, you got to have faith glasses to see some things. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, it says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And listen to this, he sends rain on the just and the unjust. You know what I believe? I believe people have given, and God has given them something, but they wouldn't step out in faith and do it, and the unjust grabbed a hold of it. Here's the next thing. Labor will be converted to money. Wisdom will make you money. Here's the last one. Money makes money. The parable of the talents. in Matthew 25. You know the story. Matthew 25 and verse 27, it says, "So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own interest." In this story, this man who got the one talent, he put it in the ground and got nothing of it. But in this text here, he said, you should have at least got it, given it to the bankers, and I would have gotten interest. The problem is, and so what he's saying is, money will make you money. You know, there'll be a time that God blesses you, like with a stimulus check. You get that stimulus check. Go to Walmart. When those start hitting the banks, I promise you 65-inch TVs will be coming out. We get a little bit of money, and we buy a boat. And how many of y'all know God is in the boat business? You know that. But you know what? If you're buying a boat and you still have $10,000 in credit card, that is foolishness. Amen? The problem is, anytime we have a little bit of money, we buy a jet ski or we buy something that brings us leisure or pleasure. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to have those things, but I'm here to tell you, if I didn't have the money to buy that trailer that day, I couldn't have doubled my profit. Come on. Who's getting something out of the word this morning? Here's the third thing is this. Money flows in channels. Money flows in channels. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." What is a window? It's a channel. I'm going to ask it again. What is a window? It's a channel. What does it channel? It channels light and it channels air. When you have the window open, it brings in air. What does channel do? It takes you from one dimension to another. Without the window, there is no blessing. God is your number one channel. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Your number two channel is your job. If you quit a job before having another job, that's foolish. Unless you totally hear from God, that's the thing to do. But that's your number two. But I believe this. I believe he said windows for a reason, because you ought to have windows. Not one, but have more. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 2, it says Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Now, he lived in the boonies. I read this years ago, and I thought to myself, how in the world does he have livestock, silver, and gold? Well, I know one, he's a child of God. He's a Jew. He said, "I will bless those that bless them, and I'll curse those that curse him." But I also know this, that God gave Abraham wisdom. I read on about Isaac. We see it later on in Genesis that they dug wells. And they dug wells in places where trade was coming back and forth. And so if you have a precious commodity like water, I'm telling you, trade can happen. And I read the story just last night. I read the story where the angels come to him in Genesis chapter 18. And right away, he goes in and he begins to make bread. And he begins to make, he says, "Hey, go get some water for these guys." And they're sitting out there. And what are they doing? They're oohing and they're cooing them. There was reflexive action, meaning this. It happened like that. The Bible says immediately they had all that stuff out to them. This ain't the first time that they did it. They had windows of opportunity. Money flows in channels. If you don't take care of the now, you will never get the new. I'll say that again. If you don't take the now, you will never get the new. Nothing of value just shows up on its own. But things of value, they come in channels. Electricity that gets to your house, it is channeled through a wire. Gas that shows up in your house, it's channeled through pipes. Water in your house, those of you that don't believe me, through that cold spell, some of you saw it. But it's channeled through pipes. Internet, it's channeled. Money flows in channels. I want to end with this. Band, if you go ahead and come up on up. He says, "Will a man rob God?" I'm reading from the New King James, Malachi 3. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Instead of chasing money, chase wisdom. Money can be converted from wisdom, and money flows in channels. He said, yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have you robbed me? What way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation brings all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. How many of y'all believe this morning that God wants to provide for you that you don't have room enough to receive it? Just lift your hand. You may have been taught foolishly poverty is a blessing. No, it's not. It's a curse. Blessing is this. It's supernatural favor working for you. And I know this was more of a practical message, but I believe people needed to hear it this morning. That God has reigned in on your life. But you've been too lazy to pick it up and do it. Can I talk to you about the six-day principle? There's many of you, you make it from paycheck to paycheck. God, when he created the earth, he worked 6 days. He worked 6 days. I'm going to say it again. He worked 6 days. As many of you, you work five. But I'm telling you, if you're going to get ahead in life, if you're going to be at this place right here, God has put something into your hand. God has given you the ability to paint. God has given you something in your hand, Jesse, that you know what it is. I think about Judy. There's little things that she does on the side. I think about lots of you inside of this room. There is a 6 day that God has given you, and I would be robbing you today to tell you that it's just give, and you don't know how to receive. I'm telling you, he will open up the windows of heaven. How many of y'all want that in your life? The windows of heaven. When rain was poured out, that was the biggest currency that they needed. Rain is something that we need. He said, I will open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fall to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. You know what I want to be? I want to be a delightful land. You know what I want to be? Come on, who's with me? I want to be a delightful land. I want to be a delightful land. You know what? I've learned how to receive, it gives me the opportunity. I'm more blessed to give than I am to receive. I hope you leave that from here. It's more of a blessing to give than to receive. And I believe this, God has already instilled something in you. As we're sitting here, there's an idea that you've been sitting on since 1998. There's something that you've been sitting on. You just got to get off of this right here and do it. Put your hand to the plow. And I was thinking about Tommy this week. I gave him thousands of horseshoes. And because I've been blessed and I've already made money off of those, I gave them to him. And because of the blessing of that was to him, what did he make? He made stuff that there's a lot of you in this room receive from that. He gave to all of you, but there's lots of people at feed stores and things like that. He sold it as well. Because of the blessing, it blessed somebody else. It's seed time and it's harvest time. Come on, it's seed time and it's harvest time. It's giving time and it's receiving time. How many of y'all got something out of the word this morning? You pursue wisdom, you pursue wisdom, and the money will come. Amen. How many of y'all know we're blessed to be a blessing? We're blessed to be a blessing. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, renovlifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.